Well, good morning, Our Father's House family. I know that you guys are tuning in right now, and it's possible that we also have some folks tuning in with us for the first time who are not usually part of Our Father's House, but you might be looking for something in the area, or maybe you found us online somehow. So I just want to welcome everybody into our home for the first time sorry, we're having a little bit of interference with volume right now, but we're going to cut that out. We're good now. So first time for us doing this. This is our first live Sunday morning worship service. So I just want to welcome everybody here into our home again. So I have to say, I am excited about this, and I've been feeling it as I was preparing last night and this morning and right now. I'm just very excited about what the Lord is going to be doing for us through this time. So I want to say, if you're coming right now and you're feeling fearful about what's going on in the world right now, I'm just expecting from the Lord that He's going to take us from a position of fear and being tormented by a spirit of fear to really coming alive in a spirit of faith. And not just faith for, wow, I really hope things are going to be good, but really faith activating power. So we're going to talk about that today. I just want to recognize, like Brandon said, if you were able to tune in earlier and follow us all the way through our playlist, we might be geographically in different locations, but right now we're united by spirit and we're connected in a shared experience with the Holy Spirit. So before I get started, I just want to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to be here with us. So here we go. Holy Spirit, we just thank you that you are with us wherever people are on the earth right now. Whether they're here in Southern Maryland or they're over in Ukraine or in South Korea or wherever it is, Lord, that people might be tuning in from, I thank you that you're with us. You're everywhere. You're ever present, but we ask for your manifest presence to be with us here today. Jesus, we thank you and we ask that you would speak to us, that you would release great things, wonderful revelation, and you'd release your power to us. And Father God, we thank you that you love us with an everlasting love, that you're in control, that you've got this whole thing. And we thank you that you're going to just show us your goodness through this time and in this season. As we adapt to what's going on, Lord, let our focus be on you and that you reign. You reign supreme for all eternity and even in this time and space right now. So we thank you, Lord. We will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Amen. So if you're here, just say something on the chat so we can see that you're attending. I just wanted to greet everybody who's coming in. Just really excited to see what God's going to do through this time. Hey, Brandon, it's good to see you. I'm glad the volume's working better. We got it mic'd this time. So thanks for all the wonderful comments people sent in. We were really trying to figure out what's going on and up our game. So we haven't worked all the bugs out yet, of course, but we're going to keep doing that. So anyways, if you watched or viewed the video that we did on Friday, we had some live viewers, but we've had a lot of people that have viewed it after the time, so that's great. We're really excited about that. You know, Friday was the first live message. Beach lover, amen. Don't know who you are, beach lover. Oh, Tracy Morgan, there we go. Miranda, great to have you, Tracy, with us. We're excited. So just want to say that we had that first live session. We sent out another statement in email and on Facebook to give us some more directions about what we're doing, and just to include some links to get us into Vanco and Givelify. So if you haven't already signed on to do your e-giving, this is a great opportunity to go out and do that. But we're going to continue to do more virtual things, more live things. So just want to give you awareness of that. Stay tuned to us. Likewise, subscribe to our YouTube channel and like our Facebook page so that you can get into this and still be moving forward with us. And hey, Pastor Steve, good to see you. And Cassie, awesome. Glad you're here with us. So on Friday, I started by talking about 2 Timothy 1:7. You'll probably remember that. If you haven't viewed it, go back and see it because I unpacked some things there, and I'm not going to get into all that. Hey, Zayd, I'm super excited too. And Karen, love to see you here with us. So I unpacked a bunch of things and talked about the focus that we have on taking prudent steps and actions motivated out of love to really protect one another in our large gatherings. And so that's why we're here doing it like this morning. And so 2 Timothy 1:7 is, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." So we talked about mostly love and sound mind the other day. Today I'm going to be talking about spirit of power. and our call to take powerful and strong action, and that the Lord has given us a spirit to go and do that. So as I've been preparing this, I came across both Katie and Brandon Monday recommended Chris Vallotton's Sermon of the Week from a couple of weeks ago at Bethel. And I encourage you to go out and view that, because it's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful sermon. It gets our head in the right place here. So there may be some crossover from what he was talking to there about that, because it really inspired me and encouraged me. But he references Psalm 21:31, which essentially says this: ready the horse for battle, but the victory is from the Lord. So basically, there's things that we prepared ourselves for in the physical, knowing that we're facing an enemy, but ultimately the victory belongs to the Lord. He's the one who accomplishes the thing. He might not even have us use the horse or whatever our preparations were for in the physical, because he wants us to be obedient in our pursuit of him and doing what he's telling us to do. So we get to be a part of that today. So we get to prepare ourselves in the natural for what we're facing. Germs are real. The virus is real. There's people that are getting sick. There are people that are dying from this. That's real. Those are facts. But the truth of who God is and what he's going to do in the earth supersedes that completely. So we want to be connected with what the Spirit of God is doing, because he's going to bring about victory in this circumstance. He's going to do it. The victory is already his. He's won it already. So what then should be the position of our heart? And that's kind of the question that I left it at on Friday when I was speaking with you. What should the position of our heart be? So we're going to talk about that today. This is exciting stuff. And I know I say this a lot from the sermon, from the pulpit. I am excited. I'm really excited today about what God's going to impart to us in this and give us vision for what he's going to do in this season. So join along with me this morning. So I want to start answering that question by the context. Love it, Marty. start by talking about the context of the season that we're in. Well, here in the U.S., maybe not everybody viewing is from the U.S., but here in the U.S., our response right now from those who lead us has been to cancel pretty much everything. We have schools shut down. We have sports shut down. We have concerts shut down. We have travel, vacation. All sorts of things are being shut down. All our forms of recreation and things that would normally be drawing us and distracting us, requiring time, energy, money, those things have effectively been canceled. So people are being sent home en masse, and we're coming home and it's just like, oh man, it's so scary. All this stuff could be happening. We could get sick. What do we do? All that kind of stuff, right? And now we don't even have, like, man, I can't even watch sports unless you watch, you know, reruns of things. But essentially our distractions have been pulled out up into and including the happiest place on earth is shut down, and it's Cruise Line. I mean, all sorts of things are shut down. So basically, wow, this is a totally different season in here. So in the present state of fear that most of the world is in right now and being driven by, this just induces more fear. And it agitates people on a deep kind of subconscious level. It's just this continuous really, you know, driving people hard into a kind of a state of fear. So we don't want that to persist and go on. There's a different perspective that we can have on this very same circumstance. So essentially, the shutting down of many of these things that normally requires people time, energy, and money, coupled with the fact that most people are going to face an extensive time at home, is a time when we're all actually being forced into a physical state of, you guessed it, rest. We are being forced into a state of rest right now, physically. In my personal experience, the closest season that I can recall in my life that's anywhere, you know, close to a parallel for this is right around 9/11. You know, if you were alive at that time or you're around, you'll remember that things shut down. We couldn't travel and everybody was glued to the TV, and it was just like the whole world kind of turned off for a little while. So this is the closest that I can see to that, but the scale of this is global right now, and that's pretty crazy. So we're being forced, like it or not, into a physical state of rest. But the question for us remains, what will we do with that time? What will we do with that physical state of rest? Will we choose to enter into the Lord's rest? That's a big question for us. There's an opportunity. We are in a place right now where we really do not have a whole lot of other things that are going on. We have the option to go to fear, which is our natural inclination, but we also have the opportunity right now in this moment to enter into God's rest. So what does that look like? Now, when Sam Solon was here with us back in November, he spoke about rest in particular. And so he preceded a lot of this stuff. So I'm gonna go into some of the things he said, just kind of summarize and pull back into our collective memory some of the things that he talked about, because it's important for us to have an eternal perspective on things that are happening in time and space right now. Okay, so Sam says this: rest is an environment from which you operate. He also said this: worry is an environment from which you operate. There's two different environments. And he said this too: there are certain economies that attend you when you operate in each. If you operate in worry, there is an economy that attends you. There's a motivation that's based in fear there, and it will attend you. It will help you come up with a bajillion different things that could go wrong and ways that things could be afflicted upon you. And when you start putting your faith into that, into those fearful things, that's where you're putting all of your belief and your expectation, is in the fear and in the worry and in the doubt. Now, on the other hand, when you're operating from a state of rest, God's rest, you're operating from a state of faith. You're operating from a place of belief, and there is an economy that attends you when you're in that place, focused on God, expecting from Him that you're going to see His goodness. You know, Graham Cook also talks about that. He's another name that I like to follow. He's a prophetic guy, and my goodness, there's so much good stuff that comes out of him. If I'm ever having a really bad day, feeling bad about myself, or I'm feeling down, or I'm having a hard time having that eternal perspective, I pop on some Graham Cook, because it doesn't matter what he's going to be talking about, I'm going to be encouraged. And one of the things he's been talking about, and I keep seeing come up in my streams, is this: rest is a weapon. And we have to view it that way. Rest is a weapon. It's a weapon of our warfare. It's an environment from which we operate, and there's an economy that attends us in it. So rest is a weapon. Keep that in your mind. Now, I just want to note that the Lord has been putting an emphasis on rest for some time now. Personally, I keep seeing it show up in all sorts of forms and fashion. I've been learning about it personally for me as I've been taking more things on. The Lord's been teaching me you have to rest physically, but also that focus of resting in a place of being and being before the Lord. It's so important for us and so vital. And now we have a great opportunity for us to really invest ourselves in that. We're not meant to live in an economy of the sweat of our brow. That means everything that comes to me or everything that happens is by my effort. And so if I want to see great things happen, I have to exert an extreme amount of effort for it to take place. If I want to protect myself, I have to exert an extreme amount of effort to protect myself, to provide for myself, to promote myself. Sound familiar? This is the spirit of the orphan that's coming out. But the spirit of sonship is an economy that flows from the provision of our Father. That's where we were designed and destined to live from. Recognizing that everything comes from our Father and He is in control. So Sam mentioned that the key to entering into this economy, God's rest, is faith. The opposite, not entering into His rest, comes from unbelief. Just go to Hebrews 3:18 through 19 to find that. The Israelites could not enter God's rest in the desert because they had unbelief. They did not believe Him. When He told them to go take the promised land, what did they see there? They saw giants. They saw giants and they were afraid. They believed more that those giants were going to defeat them than they believed that God was going to deliver the promised land into their hands. Even though He told them He was going to do it, they did not believe Him, and so they did not enter His rest. Entering His rest is dependent on our faith in Him. Okay? Sam talks about that. I really encourage you, go back to that November 2019 recording of what Sam said. There's a whole lot of stuff in that, and this is the season we're in. We need to spend some time, now that we have time, to unpack what he has given us in that. He's laid that seed in. Let's water it. Let's see what's going to happen. By the way, talk about watering seeds and new things coming up. If you were with us during the turn of the year, you'll remember me talking about what God has for us in 2020. I could just see green shoots coming up, new ministries starting, all this stuff. And I had ideas of what that was going to look like. You know, things were going to happen in the church. We're going to go here. We're going to go there. We're going to do all these things. And we still may very well go do that. But right now, we're doing something totally different. This is a new way for us to minister. There's new things that are going to come out of this virtual stuff. So, because God's been breathing on this, we didn't know what it looked like, but it's going to be here in this time. So praise God. He's doing awesome, awesome things. So Sam, in that message, comes to this about faith. Remember, faith is the key to entering into God's rest. He says this, faith is the position of lying down in vulnerability underneath the truth that you will see God's goodness in your circumstances. So let that sink in. If you've heard that before, revisit that thought. It's the position of laying down in vulnerability under the truth, which is eternal, that you will see God's goodness in the midst of your circumstances. This is great stuff. So our faith is in who God is, not merely faith in that everything's going to be okay or it's all going to work out. That's just wishful thinking. But faith in who God is, despite the circumstances we see, despite how challenging, truly challenging things can be. In our physical sense, these are facts that we face in the physical world. Despite all of that, laying under the truth of who God is, our faith is on God. It's not on the circumstances that we see. God is going to prove himself faithful over and over and over again. So let's look at an example of this in action. So we're operating from my home today. We don't have somebody who's going to be working behind the scenes to put all the scriptures up on the screen. So hopefully you've thought about this already. If not, I'm going to give you a little bit of time. Go get your Bible or get your cell phone with your Bible app. Pull it up and give you a little bit of time. But we don't have our wonderful people that are generally working in the back doing that today. Brandon's got a whole setup here. It's pretty awesome to see what he's set up here. I'm just thankful for Brandon and the rest of the AV team for everything that you guys do for us. But man, he basically imported everything that we have in the back of the sanctuary here into our home this morning to do this. So he made that thing portable. What a cool thing. So we're going to be in 1 Samuel chapter 17. We're talking about David and Goliath this morning. This is the context that I believe the Lord is wanting us to function in right now. So this is going to be really cool. All right, so 1 Samuel 17. So as we talk through this story, I'd like you to consider the present circumstances that we're in, of course, that the world is in. The Holy Spirit is going to help you draw parallels that I won't even be able to go into. Okay, I'm going to draw some parallels, but there's going to be other layers of things that he's going to speak to your heart right now because he can do that. I can't. I'm limited with my words. By the way, I hope you have coffee or tea or some other hot beverage, and hopefully most of you didn't make it out of your jammies this morning. I'm in my slippers, by the way. But we're going to start into the story. So I'm going to provide a little bit of background. In 1 Samuel 17, we see that there's kind of lines that are drawn, and we're going into battle. We're seeing this is a story about how David first, his first impact into the nation of Israel. So I'm going to get started here in verse 1. We're going to go through 1 through 11 first off, and I'm reading from the NIV. Now the Philistines gathered their forces for war and assembled at Soko in Judah. Pay attention that they are in Judah. They pitched camp at Ephes Damim between Soko and Azekah. Saul and the Israelites assembled and camped in the valley of Elah and drew up their battle lines to meet the Philistines. The Philistines occupied one hill and the Israelites another, with the valley between them. A champion named Goliath, who was from Gath, came out of the Philistine camp. His height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a bronze helmet on his head and wore a coat of scale armor of bronze weighing 5,000 shekels. On his legs he wore bronze greaves, and a bronze javelin was slung on his back. His spear shaft was like a weaver's rod, and its iron point weighed 600 shekels. His shield bearer went ahead of him. Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and are not you the servants of Saul? Choose a man and have him come down to me. If he is able to fight and kill me, we will become your subjects. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become our subjects and serve us. Then the Philistine said, This day I defy the armies of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other. On hearing the Philistine's words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. You hear a lot of facts about Goliath here. We're in a season right now where we're hearing a lot of facts about coronavirus and how quickly it spreads and all that stuff. I'm sure some of you can probably rattle off some incredible statistics about the coronavirus. Probably better statistics than you can rattle off about your own life or about the land that you live in. We know this coronavirus very well right now, and lots of people are being fearful and intimidated by it. But we see here that the lines are drawn and that people are at a standstill. The army of Israel has been moving forward, but here they are now at a standstill. And we find that they are there for 40 days. In verse 16, it tells us, For 40 days the Philistine came forward every morning and evening and took his stand. How long have you been listening now to the reports about coronavirus? How long has that been going on? Probably somewhere around 40 days. It's been going on for a long time, and here we are, and we've been hearing this, and every day, it's like waves and waves of it come on. And what happens? We get more and more fearful. We get more and more steeped into the spirit of fear and just worry about, oh my goodness, what could happen from this? Now, the threat is real. That's fact. Like I said, we can rattle off statistics of things that are actually, factually happening. Now, there's a response that comes from everyone here. We see even their leader, the highest leader, the senior leader, Saul, is terrified, okay? And he is terrified to the point that he can't even move forward. Who does he put forward against this guy? You'll remember there's probably about a year or so ago, I actually preached a message on this, and I stood as tall as Goliath was. And I tell you, that was a commanding place there, up on top of a chair, up on top of our stage, to look down at everybody and think, man, this guy was enormous. And to think about how huge he was, actually, and how big all this stuff was, to be bellowing these threats and this challenge against Israel. Who could stand against this guy? Pretty crazy stuff. Now, Goliath was defying the army of the armies of Israel. This is God's chosen people. So he was actually thumbing his nose at Yahweh. These people represent God in the earth as his chosen people, and he's defying them. He even says, I defy you. So I defy God. I defy Yahweh in this. So let's pick it up in verse 20, because this is where we see David start to come on scene in his first encounter with this. So it says this, Early in the morning, David left the flock in the care of a shepherd, loaded up and set out as Jesse had directed. He reached the camp as the army was going out to its battle positions, shouting the war cry. Israel and the Philistines were drawing up their lines facing each other. David left his things with the keeper of supplies, ran to the battle lines, and asked his brothers how they were. As he was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, stepped out from his lines and shouted his usual defiance, and David heard it. Whenever the Israelites saw the man, they all fled from him in what great fear. That's pretty evident where the nation of Israel was, right? I want to take a quick moment and tell you, we're actually, for our prophetic folks or anybody really, we have a line that we receive prophetic words in. That's open today, so please, Katie's going to be monitoring that. If you have some words that the Lord's stirring, share them, because I would like to share them at the end of this if we can. So quick side note there. But Israel was in a state of fear. So once again, we see them responding in fear, and the content of the words, the facts of who he was, the imposing view of Goliath is really striking fear into their hearts. So they're actually, like I said, they're at this standstill, and they're in that physical state of rest, right? They can't go anywhere. They're in stasis. Nothing's going to happen. They've been there for 40 days. No one's going anywhere. But is Israel, have they entered into God's rest? Have they been believing that he is who he says he is? Or are they believing the report of this enemy that's imposing? They can see him, right, with their eyes. So here we are. We talked the first time about entering into God's rest. They faced giants in the land, right? And they didn't go because of unbelief. Now we've got David and Israel, and they have another option to face a giant in the land. And so Israel is unwilling, right? But God sent David into the situation because he's showing his goodness and his strength and his might through this whole thing. So let's pick up David's response in verse 26 because it's pretty cool. David asked the men standing near him, "What will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel?" I love this guy. "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" So awesome. You know, David, he looks at this and he says, and I was listening to Dutch Sheets talking about this, and he says, listen, I'm circumcised, which means I have covenant with God. This guy has no covenant with God. By the way, he's on my land. This is the land of Judah, and David is from the tribe of Judah. So he's looking at this thing and like, who's not on my watch? This isn't going to happen, right? So David, he starts already just in contrast. He's operating from God's rest because he knows who God is. He knows that he has faith in God because of God, who God says he is and who God has proven himself to be. And so David is operating out of God's rest. So his faith is there. He is certain of the outcome of this situation. So we're going to go pick this up now into in verse 32. And this is going to be David's discourse with Saul. When Saul finally hears about David and says, "All right, bring him to me. Let's talk." So David says this to Saul. Says, David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart." Don't lose heart. Where are our hearts right now? It's in a state of fear, right? "No one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him." Saul replied with facts, right? "You are not able to go out against a Philistine and fight him. You are only a young man, and he has been a warrior from his youth." So he looks at David, and he looks at Goliath, and he's saying, I don't see how this weighs up, because he's just looking with what he can see from his natural eyes. So David says this, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine." Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." Saul recognized that David was operating on a different level, right? David was functioning from a place where rest is his weapon. His certainty is in the Lord, and he has a history with God that he's standing on. He's saying, I've faced, you know, these immeasurable odds before. I faced this imbalance before. The fact that I was functioning as the way I was supposed to function, dependent on God, I was operating under his authority, and he came through for me because he is who he says he is. So Saul gives David his armor, right? And the next thing we see, then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened his sword over the tunic and tried walking around because he was not used to them. Here's his response. "I cannot go in these," he said to Saul, "because I'm not used to them." So he took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand, approached the Philistine. This is pretty cool stuff. David is given the armor. He tries it on. Doesn't work out for him. He goes with what he knows, right? We'll get back to that later. So I'm going to read about this battle now. And this is going to be verses 41 through 51. This is just cool stuff. Guys, this isn't just, you know, a guy with a sling and a stone facing on a giant and he was outmatched and won. This is a powerful display of what God can do. Okay? So here we go. "Meanwhile, the Philistine, with his shield bearer in front of him, kept coming closer to David. He looked David over and saw that he was little more than a boy, glowing with health and handsome, and he despised him. He said to David, 'Am I a dog that you come at me with sticks?' And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. 'Come here,' he said, 'and I'll give your flesh to the birds and the wild animals. That's a pretty big threat. He's looking at this thinking, I've been challenging these folks for 40 days and this is what they send out to me. He doesn't have armor on. He's got a stick and he's got a sling and some rocks. He's like, seriously, this is a joke. So what am I going to do? This is going to be over. I'm going to feed your flesh to the birds and the animals, right? Listen to David's response. David said to the Philistine, you come against me with a sword and a spear and a javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. Whew. This very day I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals. You're threatening my body? I'm going to take the entire army, and we're going to feed them to the birds and the wild animals. This is awesome. And the whole world will know there is a God in Israel. All those who gather here will know that it is not by sword or by spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands. As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, what does David do? David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine in the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Without a sword in his hand, he struck down the Philistine and killed him. David ran over and stood over him. He took hold of the Philistine's sword and drew it from the sheath. After he killed him, he cut off his head with the sword. And you'll find that the army then goes and routs the Philistines in a massive way. It's pretty phenomenal. So David is operating from God's rest in a position of great vulnerability. He used the weapons God had given him without physical armor. So remember, he just comes out in his shepherd's clothes. He doesn't have physical armor on him. He didn't pick up the sword that was given to him by Saul. His faith was in the Lord, and he destroyed the enemy because of his alignment with the Lord and who he knew himself to be in the eyes of God and who he knew God to be. So there's some points I want us to consider here. What might have happened if someone else in fear had been sent out into the challenge? We'll never know what would have happened there, but they would have been functioning in fear and they would have been completely outmatched by the giant that they faced. They wouldn't have been living in what God had told them to do. They wouldn't have been in his rest. And it's in all likelihood, they would have perished that day, and the nation of Israel would have been put into servitude to the Philistines. Great gains would have been lost in that situation had they given into fear and actually operated and gone to battle in fear. Now, David recognized that this battle had a spiritual component to it, and those are the terms that he fought on. We just saw that. He came out and says, you came at me with the sword, spear, and the javelin, but the victory belongs to the Lord. And so he came at him from a spiritual dynamic. He says, look, you're on my land. I'm circumcised. I'm in covenant with God. You're not. There's only one way this is going to end, and that's you're dead. You're dead, dude. So David actually, he puts on the armor of God, right? So let's go into Ephesians chapter 6. Take some time to flip over to that. You guys might be faster if you're on your cell phone. Ephesians 6. Here we go. The full armor of God. So we're going to read that. So this is in verses 10 through 18. David is given the option of physical armor. We'll go into that for a second. But he chooses instead to be in the armor of God. It says this, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle, remember this right now, our struggle is not against against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled about your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, and Sam says, do this always. If all else fails, do this. Take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. We're to take up the full armor of God. What did David recognize? This isn't a battle of flesh and blood. This is a spiritual battle here, and I'm just going to go into alignment with what God's going to do. He's not going to let us become the slaves and the servants of these Philistines. He's going to deliver us because our God is a deliverer. Saul was given, he gave David his armor. Now, let's remember this. What was it that Saul had put on right now? He's operating out of a spirit of fear. He responds in the physical. He gives David his own armor because that's where his trust is, in the physical. This is why God had intended to replace him with David. David was a man after God's own heart. So Saul's trust is in the physical. That's how he responds. Saul himself is ruled by fear, and he's trying to put these things onto David. David is functioning out of economy that's not of the sweat of his brow, but that's how Saul would respond. So David says, I'm not used to them. I'm not going to wear them. I'm going to keep moving forward with what I have. So David connected with who he was and whose he was. And he's connected with who God is. This is good stuff. So he stood on his history with the Lord, he ran into battle, and he launched his attack directly into the mind of his enemy, and he destroyed him. And when he does, what happens? We see the entire scene change. We see the heart of the people going from fear to faith, and they routed the enemy. They completely routed the enemy. This people who had been for 40 days living in fear, under a spirit of fear, all of a sudden transformed into faith. They saw God prove who he said he was through a boy. And they said, oh my goodness, we now have the victory. The victory belongs to the Lord. Church, this is what we're called to. This is at the heart of what we're called to. We're not called to be living in fear. We're called to be living in faith. In faith in a powerful way that takes powerful actions, that's motivated out of love. We're going to see God doing some incredible things. We find ourselves right now in the same position that the rest of the world is. We are in a place of physical rest. But are we going to enter into God's rest? Are we going to function there? We have the opportunity to do that. We have the opportunity to launch an assault at the enemy right now. Or we have the same opportunity to be scared, to be cowering, to be worried about everything. We could also not totally be worried about everything, but we could waste the rest of the time that we have watching Netflix and other reruns of things. But really, I believe the Lord wants us to be actively involved in what he's doing. There's going to be some physical rest that happens. Some of us are pretty wearied by the things that have been going on in our lives recently. We have an opportunity to actually rest. Some of us are wearied by the spiritual things that are going on. We've been living in that state of fear. And God's saying, listen, enter into my rest. Believe that I am who I am. So we have an opportunity in this hour to see triumph in our circumstances as God brings about that triumph. To lay down in our vulnerability, right? We've prepared ourselves. We're doing the right things. We know the stuff to be prudent and wise in this season. But we have to lay down right now and trust God that the truth of who he is and the fact that we will see his goodness in the midst of our circumstances is true. And we get to function from that place. So what is he going to do? How do we operate from there? How do we launch that attack into the enemy? It's going to come through praise. It's going to come through worship and prayer as God launches his attack through his people at this thing. There's going to be a physical response that happens here. We might have scientists that come up with a vaccine suddenly. We might see this thing come to death. But the Lord's going to turn the tide on this thing as his people across the world, God's chosen people, rise up in faith right now and they say, not on our watch, like David, not on our watch. This isn't going to go down this way. And I'm not going to live in fear. I'm going to function out of the position that I have before my Father. So when God turns the tide on this virus, we're going to see the people of the earth, even those who are not already in faith in who God is, all of a sudden go from fear to faith. They're going to see God move, and they're going to believe that there is a God, that there's a God in Israel, right? And that He is watching over His people. So let's take a big picture perspective on this. God has been speaking for some time now about a global revival that's unlike anything that we've ever seen. He's been talking about that actually for over 100 years. He had prophetic words that were going on back then. About 100 years from now, there's going to be some amazing stuff that happens. And we've seen words coming out recently that God's going to be, He's going to be saving billions of people around the world. That's huge. Billions souls saved? That's huge. That's a global revival that we're talking about. And many of us are anticipating that's coming very soon. The prophetic activity that's been around this has been immense. So what's the enemy doing? He's launching an attack. That's what he does. It's all he knows how to do. He launches fear into our hearts so that we're not believing in God and to get distracted and, oh my goodness, all this worry and everything comes about. So he's launching his global attack. That's what this is. It's his global attack at this. But it is going to fail as the church stands up. As the church rises up, we're going to see things take place in a big way. Remember, God is not surprised by this. He's not concerned about this. He's not worried about this. God is in peace and in rest over this whole situation. And what the enemy intends for good and or evil in this, God is going to turn for good. And we're going to see incredible things happen as God uses this as a training and proving moment for His church in the earth. Already, there are believers all over the world that are saying, not on my watch. And here at our Father's house, we're going to do the same thing. We're going to say, not on my watch. We're not going to stand for that. We're going to be moved forward in praise and in worship and in prayer. What did we just go through in our entire month of February? We had a month of prayer and fasting. I'm going to read to you again. If maybe you weren't with us, but even if you were, I'm just going to remind you the things that we've been fasting and praying over. Some of us fasted and prayed for a period of time, thought, okay, we're done. And then the Lord brought us back into it again. He says, nope, you're not done yet. Get back in here. I need you to do some work because you're laying the foundation for what I'm going to be doing. You don't know what's coming, but I'm going to start preparing your hearts and preparing the environment here for me to act. We're a faithful people that believe in the presence of God, that He transforms things. He transforms nations. He transforms people. We want to see a hurting world healed, and we want to see people launched into their destiny. There is a destiny beyond this moment, and it includes what we're going to learn from this moment. How exciting is that? So here's our 4 points. Ready? We want, one, to see an increase in the manifest presence of God. We want to see Him come and show up in many ways. Now, the presence of God is everywhere, but when His manifest presence shows up, it brings incredible transformation. It brings joy. It brings victory. It brings triumph over our circumstances, and it brings transformation in our lives. Number two, we wanted to see unity in the church in Southern Maryland. Big C Church, not just our Father's house, but the Church of God in Southern Maryland. The groupings of believers that gather in different locations throughout the week, we want to see God's unity between us. And so we've been praying for that, praying for pastors, praying for the other congregations, knowing that we are all part of the body of Christ, and we want to see unity taking place because power comes when we are unified, right? Number three, we've asked for God's blessings to be poured out in Southern Maryland. I'm believing that God's going to bring protection over our people here, that we will see goodness of the Lord in this land. And so we've been praying for that. Fourth and final thing, we've been praying for the heart of our nation in this presidential election year. There's been division all over the place, but we've been praying and interceding for the heart of our nation. Our nation is just gripped with fear right now over this whole thing as we've been watching this wave that's been coming across the world, and here it is. It's starting to present itself here in the United States. So we've been praying for the heart of our nation. So what action am I calling you to today? I'm calling you to this, that we're going to take these four prayers that we've been having, and we're going to elevate them to a different scale. We've been praying locally, been praying a little bit nationally, but I want us to elevate that to a whole new scale. We want to see an increased presence of the Lord manifest globally right now. We want to see God show up in huge ways. For people that are stricken with fear right now, we want to see His presence show up. We want to see the work of the enemy just get destroyed and vaporized as the presence of the Lord shows up. Second thing, we want to see unity in the church across the world. Globally, as this is a global phenomenon, we want to be praying for the church, the churches that are in the places of the world, the regions of the world that are hardest hit right now. We want to be praying for them, praying for the church in Italy, praying for the churches in China, praying for the churches across Europe and across the world that are really being impacted, and praying for the church here in America too. As this wave is starting to come here, that we would rise up and say, here and no further. You're not on our watch. We're not going to stand for this. We're going to attack the mind of the enemy. His strategies that he's using, we're going to attack them right now. We're going to be unified, and we're going to be blessing churches. Doesn't matter what denomination or whatnot, what other doctrine, things that we normally get cringy about, we're going to bless the church of God across the world. And third, we're going to be praying for God's blessings to be poured out globally. We're going to say, Lord, you've already won this thing. We just ask for your blessings to be poured out, that we would see the physical change right now as you do things on a spiritual, supernatural level. And then we're going to be praying for the heart of the world right now that's gripped in fear, that's believing in faith that the enemy is going to destroy them, that would be turned around, and that their faith would be put in God and who He is. That we would be able to lay down in our vulnerability underneath the truth that we will see the goodness of God come forth in these circumstances. These are the focuses that we're going to be praying right now. And we're going to be praising and worshiping our living God, exalting Him for who He is, just blessing His name. We're going to say, Lord, you are just so great. You're so mighty. You are above all things. You are not surprised by this. You're not concerned about this. You're not in worry. You already have the victory. We're going to be declaring that. This is going to be an exciting time, guys. And so we're going to be looking for opportunities to get together virtually and pray together. I encourage you to do it at home on your own. There's so many great songs out there on YouTube and videos that really just usher in the presence of the Lord. Get yourself in that. Don't keep listening to all the fear and stuff that's going on out there. Get yourself to listening to the heart of God in this moment, because He, Aslan's on the move. He is here to bring about change, and we get to be a part of that. I want to look back at this time and say, you know what? I was tuned into what God was doing, and I got to be a part of what God was doing in the world. I want to be on that side of history. I don't want to be on the side of history that says I cowered in fear, and I was in my bunker, and I didn't know what to do, and I was shaking the whole time. I want to be walking with God in this moment and helping to release what He is going to do in the earth right now. So we're going to take communion in the next few minutes. We're going to bring our boys downstairs here. And if your kids are out and around, I'd encourage you to bring them around with you. We have some juice here, some crackers, but if you watched the video the other day, I said, even if you don't have juice and crackers, just find something creative to use. This is flex mode for us right now. So as we go into communion, like I said, get your kids around you and be thinking about what Jesus did on the cross for us. 2,000 years ago, He paid the price for us. So I want to say this. There is a finished work of Jesus. Remember, come on in, boys. There's a finished work of Jesus. Jesus on the cross came to be with us and die in our place. Now, he finished this work already. When He goes up on the cross, He said, it is finished. And when He resurrected, He punched out of the grave, and He triumphed over sickness, over death, over fear, over the works of the enemy. He took all of that and says, I win, you lose. Because He has the victory, we can partake in it. Okay? So we're going to partake in that together right now. So I encourage you to get some crackers. You want a cracker there? Hold it. Don't eat it yet. Brandon? Thank you, sir. Cameraman, there we go. And we're going to get some juice together too. There you go, sweetie. All right, I'll take one too. Now, believers all over the world right now are taking communion. And And we're getting to partake in that together as well. Some poise, here we go. I'll give you that one. All right. There you go. Okay. We're going to take these elements and we're going to thank the Lord for what he did for us. Jesus, we thank you that you have the victory, that you already paid the price for this. And we thank you that your body was broken for us, your blood was poured out for us, and we have a new covenant, and that we get to live in Christ. You get to live in us, and you get to move in and through the world through us, and we're just excited for that. Thank you for paying the price and making that happen. Father, we just exalt God the Father, who's in control over this all right now. We thank you, God, that you are in control. We praise you, Jesus. You're the King of Kings. You're the Lord of Lords. You're the Prince of Peace. The victory already belongs to you. Holy Spirit, we thank you that we've already welcomed you, Lord, but I say specifically, we welcome you to encourage, comfort, and strengthen us. Release to us, through revelation, strategies that the enemy has, and the power by the word to destroy the mind of the enemy, that we would defeat the strategies that he has on the earth right now, Lord, that you would give us that battle plan. Lord, we pray for the manifest presence of God to increase in throughout the globe. We ask for unity in the global church as we rise up in who we are, knowing that we are yours and you are true in who you are, and that we're going to see this thing defeated. And look, Father, we ask for your blessings to be poured out in the earth to eradicate this COVID-19 virus. We thank you, Lord, that you already have another end. You have an end to this. There's another side to this, and you're going to show the way through it. I pray for the heart of the people on the earth right now, that they would be turned from fear to faith. And we release your grace for healing for all who are afflicted. And Lord, that you would release your solution into the earth. We thank you, Lord. And Lord, I pray for our governmental leaders, that they would have peace, they would have vision, they would have certainty in how they move forward, that you give them wisdom, wise counsel, Lord, that they would feel your presence, that they would know great decisions to make. And Lord, I pray for our healthcare workers who are ministering to the people that are already sick and those that are continuing to come in, Lord. Lord, they themselves are susceptible. I just pray that you would just grace them with strength and confidence, Lord, that you have risen them up for this hour, and that they will be able to minister to the bodies of those who come to them, and not just their bodies, but their hearts, Lord, their spirits, Lord, as they come in and they're scared. I ask that you would give these people confidence. We just bless them right now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Take and eat and drink together in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. So please pass your cups to the center aisle. Just kidding. Thank you for joining with us this morning. We have a few prophetic words this morning that we want to share. Let's see. I'm just going to read these. All right. It says, there's a woman watching the service who's found herself overcome by fear and is retreating to a place where she went as a child when fearful. It is a very dark place where there was no peace and no rest. The Lord would say to her, I am your shield and hiding place. Seek shelter in me. The Lord wants to direct her to Psalm 119, verse 114. You are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word. Also to Psalm 3 through 5. But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory, and the one who lifts up my head. I cried to the Lord with my voice. He heard me from his holy hill. I lay down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustained me. If you're that lady out there, I just want to just encourage you. God has got you. The enemy's bringing you back to that place of fear. God wants to replace that fear with his grace. So I just bless you right now. Lord, I ask that the word that you've spoken would sink down deep. I just rebuke the lie that the enemy has planted there. And right now we impart this, the truth of the word of God. Lord, that the word that is revealed and released through this prophetic word would come and completely replace that. And Lord, that we would see transformation in her life. I bless you in the name of Jesus. And we had a couple other ones. Is that... Bear with us as we're We're doing this for the first time. We normally have an iPad for doing this. Okay. All right, we've got this. This is from Danielle. I see the Lord moving puzzle pieces and connecting them and providing revelation for those who are in question of their faith and God's power over the world. This is God's power is being released through this message right now. There's puzzle pieces that are coming into place. There's things that may have been floating around for you for a while. You didn't know where to put them. And I'm just going to tell you, God's going to start putting those together. And you might have had questions about how different things connected. He's going to make those connections for you. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. He's the one who reveals Jesus to us. And we got one final one. All right, never mind. We had two words. Thank you for those who shared words this morning. I just want to bless you and just thank you for participating with us this morning as we've come together and really sought the Lord together. And I just pray that this word that we released this morning would take you from fear to faith. God is doing great, incredible things in the earth. We get to be part of it. We want to see a hurting world healed. We want to see people launched into their destiny. And this is part of that vision, part of that mission that God's given us. And so we're excited about the future and what that's going to mean. Stay tuned to our Father's House in the various forms that we communicate. Like I said, subscribe to our YouTube channel, like our Facebook page, and you'll start to see more and more stuff, more content come out and opportunities for us to grow and be strengthened together in this season. So God bless you this week. I'm going to take a nap, hopefully, today. This has been a lot of things for us to do over the past couple days, but I'm excited about what God's doing. I'm excited about what He's doing in the earth and to be a part of it. God bless you. In Jesus' name. See ya.